What are you clothed with? And I'm not talking about polyester or cotton or wool or denim. If you would join me in prayer. Loving God, Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for bringing us here together to hear your word, to hear what you have for us. And God, I just ask that you would make it very specific for each one and that we could hear what you have specifically for each. The words may come out of and sound like my voice, but God, I want it to be your words. I trust that you would just open our minds and our heart to what you have prepared. In Christ's name, amen. What would others see if our clothes expressed how we feel and acted? So when you would engage with somebody, your clothing told how you are, what you're feeling, what you want to express. Does homeless attire tell us who that person really is as a person? Is that just an outer sign of what we see? But we don't know what's inside that person. That's part of that putting on our clothes. So we see this homeless person maybe in rags. Does that define that person? How would you feel about someone who is dressed nicely and professionally? Man, their hair is groomed, and I mean, they are the term dressed to the nines. Does that define who that person is? Is that someone that we could say, oh, I could readily talk to that person? But their appearance, again, does that tell us who they are or what they are? Or is both, in a sense, a mask? We don't see beyond the surface. Paul is using clothes as a metaphor of godly traits. Today's text comes from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. We've heard that a little bit already, but we'll go through some of the points that have come to my mind as I was looking at this. Therefore is because of what? What was before us, what we read. Because you are God's. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, and that's who we are chosen, holy and beloved. Do you see yourself as holy? Do you see yourself as beloved by God? Or is that kind of something that you read about and you go, yeah, some days I can equate with that. That works, but not every day. Is that something that we struggle with as humans? I think so. Clothe yourself with compassion. But you know, we've all seen pageants where they would have this strap and there's a name or something that's on there. I wanted so badly to have one of those put on, and it said compassion right here. And then have another one that said kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These traits are what God wants and has put before us because we are chosen, because we are holy to Him. And we are absolutely beloved. No matter what your situation is, no matter past and what's going on right now in your life, you are loved by God. Clothe yourself implies that we are not already dressed. Have you thought of that? When he says put on these clothes, it means possibly that we're not dressed. Or at least we're not dressed with what we need to have, what we should. Just like you were once identified by the apparel, rags or fine clothes, and people do judge, people see. We're all guilty of seeing those situations. If someone's in rags, there's an immediate something in our mind that trips in our heart. We see another one that may be royalty in all of their regalia. Immediately, our mind goes to a point, to a place. The characteristics of these qualities, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, they define you now. Do you realize because of Jesus Christ and in him we live, these are traits that we have. We put these on. We are shown what godly traits are to be fully there. Think about those traits. And I know that there are people that are really skilled at reading a person, if that's the right way to say that. They can see kind of the makeup of this person. They're not necessarily looking at clothes. They're looking at facial expression, body language. And one of the keys is always look in someone's eyes. The people that gamble, that play cards, they wear sunglasses because their eyes will give them away. When you are talking to somebody, you're trying to figure out and understand them, their eyes are always their giveaway. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a positive. Above all, in verse 14, clothe yourself with love. Back, I wanted a big heart that I had a strap on and it just would reflect. This love binds us, brings us all together in perfect harmony. Just the thought of if everyone expressed love, if everyone felt loved. Can you imagine if people you interact with felt loved, the difference that would be made? Simple things. Paul is telling us to clothe ourselves with qualities of Jesus Christ. Put on love. Paul speaks of the same thing in Romans 13, verse 14, and Galatians 3, 26. Paul felt this was pretty important. He didn't write it once. In several of the letters, he included the same concept. Paul could be telling his audience that human beings do not naturally wear compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and love. It's not natural that we do that. I mean, in some cases, maybe some of them are a little more prevalent, but they don't last. We don't hang on to that. We get tripped up by the enemy. Verse 14 from the Mirror translation says, wear love like a uniform. This is what completes the picture of our oneness. And I was trying to think of what that would look like. You have seen someone in the military. Pick your branch. Some of you are going to favor one branch over another. But when they are in their dress uniform, everything is perfect. Case in point is the soldiers that are at the Tomb of the Unknown. They spend hours to look like what they do for their term or their time guarding the Tomb of the Unknown. Do you realize that when they put on their pants, they cannot sit down until their time is done? If they sit, there's a crease in the pants and it destroys that perfect uniform. That's what God is talking about in the Mirror translation. Wear love like a uniform. Make it perfect. Be that loving individual, regardless of the situation. And I'm going to tell you that will be a challenge. Because not everything and not everybody, including the person you see in the mirror, feels love all the time. It's a part of the life we live. These unselfish traits don't always come easy. And they don't. Trying to live with that compassion, humility, forgiveness. It's all part of what we are asked to do, to put on by who asked us to put it on? God. This wasn't your physical parent saying, go change your clothes. That's not what you need to wear today. That's not it. This is God saying, these are important. Put these on. Some days, your ability to express these traits, and it's front and center, and it's working, and, you know, life is good. And some days, they're just very hard to find. Maybe you had someone cut you off on your way down the street, down the road. Is your reaction with compassion and love for this individual? I don't think so. It'd be a rare person that is. Do you find yourself accelerating to maybe cut them off or do something different? I mean, even in our mind, we may think that, even though we don't do it. Well, it still doesn't exude the same thing. These unselfish traits of esteeming others better than ourselves don't come easy. Is there a difference between how we behave and how we want to behave? That's a personal question for you to maybe wrestle with. Because every one of us makes choices all day long. We are making choices. And those choices have outcomes. When we make the choice, do we think about what the outcome is going to be? Are we consistent in our behavior? Do we still wear our old clothing of rags or fine clothing? Or do we put on garments of Christ-like behavior? Forget the rags. Forget the fine clothes. Put on Christ. Put on his behavior. Let that be your guiding principles of life. How would you answer that question? Are we consistent in our behavior? I want you to think about how that is for you. Not the person you're sitting beside, not the person that's maybe still at home, but you. Getting dressed means putting on Christ. We model Jesus to all. As we live our life, we have neighbors, we have coworkers if you're still employed. You have people that you see maybe in a restaurant that you frequent often. In a lot of cases, they know you are a Christian. You are a believer. They know that you make pretty good choices a lot of the time. How do you react to them? Do you consciously think, my behavior is reflective of my belief of Jesus Christ? Do we think about it in those terms? That we really are, what is it the saying? You may be the only Jesus that person sees that day. And here's the kicker. We model Jesus to all, even when we don't feel like it. Do you ever feel this way? I know I do. There's days that I'd be better off going back home and starting over. We strive to treat our neighbors as Christ would treat them. I mentioned last week or week before about my neighbor across the street. Today, one of you came up and talked about how you help your neighbor across the street. Just doing little things. I got a text this week, I think it was on Thursday, from my neighbor, who refers to herself as, this is your pest, which she is not, but I can't get her to walk away from that. She said, I need some help. Okay. I have no idea what I'm going to step into when I'm going across the street to her home. She met me at the door, and she had her TV remote in her hand. And she says, "I can't get it open. I need to change the batteries." She's 90. And I said, "Okay." And I took it and I opened it up. She says, "How'd you do that?" I said, "Okay." And I stopped and slowly showed her what I had done and how this worked. And I said, "When it comes time, if you need help, let me, I'll come back over. It's no problem." But she says, "Well, I see how it works now." So taking a few minutes to explain or to value this person is huge. We strive to treat our neighbor as Christ. I think Jesus would have done maybe a whole lot better job of it. But she was happy, her remote worked, and I got to go back home and know that she would ask if she needed something. That's my fear, is if we don't leave a positive, will they ask again? And will the need be even bigger? Or they just sit there and live with the situation. The thing of it is, when we do all of this, we don't fake it. It's real. This is a child of God that we're working with, that we're helping, that we're responding to. They are a child of God. But you can't fake that. And that's not something we should do. We do this by following the lead of the Holy Spirit, not choosing greed or selfishness or pride. Getting dressed also means we take our true feelings to God in prayer. It is the best thing that we can do. Start our day with going to God and asking Jesus through the Spirit to guide our actions. Guide our thoughts, guide the things that come out of our mouth. Because all of that is being noticed or impactful to other people. Caring for others is huge. People especially notice that. In the workplace, you may be the one that, for whatever reason, they're looking at you and going, "Why are you always so helpful? It doesn't get you anything, but why are you always so helpful?" And we can turn that inside and go, "Thank you, Jesus. It's you in me that is doing that. That's that clothing that I choose for you to put on me to love other people." We simply need God in our life. At every level, we pray for God to cause our inside to match our outside. If we have Jesus inside us, and Jesus through the Spirit is walking and living and moving in us, those traits will come out. We want those to be seen by others, not the rags or the ugly. We want that smile to come out. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Share Jesus with each other. And that's a question. Do you share Jesus with others in this room? This is the safest place that you could ever ask for to share Jesus with. But do we? Do we tell about an event of the last week or an upcoming event and talk about Jesus and how that will work? But The question is, do we share Jesus with each other? Get to know who Jesus is and what he is like. Spend time to get to know Jesus better. How do we do that? His word, the Gospels, is a great place. David in the Psalms speaks of his love and his struggles with times of rags and riches and traits that weren't positive and traits that were, that followed through. But it's interesting when he talks about sing songs, hymns. And I think I shared, but I'll share it again, with my aunt that just passed. In her condition, she couldn't read hardly at all. And she said she would wake up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and couldn't go back to sleep. But she would start to remember the hymns from her childhood of going to church. She would have been in the church in the late 50s, 60s as a child, teenager. And she said those words would just come back. And they would minister to her. You put song, a tune, a melody to words, our minds can remember. It's amazing. For me, this past week, I came across a song. I hadn't heard that song in probably 40 years, 45 years. Kind of liked the song. And it started along. And the words were just coming right out of me exactly as they fit in the song. It was almost like I had the words right in front of me. They were embedded in that database back somewhere in my mind. And the tune and the melody brought them all back. So when he says, with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms. Take the words, play the music, let that minister to you. That's such an incredible experience. And then those spiritual songs to God. God wants to hear that as well. Let our words and actions be in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus first. Always go to Jesus first. Let Jesus teach us how to be a neighbor, a mother, a father, uncle, aunt, brother, a friend. Let Jesus teach us how to be relational. He is incredibly relational. And whatever you do in verse 17, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I trust that we do that. I trust that that's a part of who you are, that you give thanks to God the Father, not only for God, but for Jesus, the Holy Spirit, for a loved one. In my case, I pray for my neighbor across the street. Her only relation that lives close is now gone for 4 months. So she has no family. She's from southern Georgia. So we get to go over and we get to be family. We get to help. We get to laugh with her. But this didn't work without God intervening. God's the one that set this up, allowed it to happen, and gave me and my family the opportunity to walk through it. Getting dressed in Christ-likeness calls for giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. That's putting on the clothes, the uniform, the compassion, all of those traits, and the love all come through Jesus. That's where we get those. And who better to go to and ask for help? Don't look for ways to not clothe ourselves in Christ. Another way to say that, don't look for ways to justify our sinful actions. Look for ways to get away from that. Confess to God our own shortcomings and need for grace. We all need grace. And we all come up short. But we can all experience what Jesus is doing in our lives. And we thank him for it. Put on Jesus Christ. Clothe in his love, mercy, and grace. Let people see Jesus in you. Let that be what they're left with of, how are they always so positive? How are they always so helpful? They may come and ask sometime. And what will you be able to say? It's not me, but it's my friend. It's my love, my father, my brother, Jesus. That's who you're seeing. Be glad you're not seeing the real me. Be clothed in his love, his mercy, and grace. You would join me in prayer. Father God, again, we are so incredibly blessed. And God, I ask that we each one can put on those traits that you have said here through Paul, and that we can go to you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to let those out. Let people see those traits. Give us the answers when they ask questions. And God, I just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We will come to the next portion of our service this morning. I chose Mark today. We've not read Mark in communion for a while. And I will mention right up front, all are welcome at this table. There are no restrictions. God loves each one. But I want to read Mark 14, verses 22 through 25. And this goes back again to the upper room. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." There's a promise of a future. There is a remembrance of what these elements mean. How they got to this table. These are all pointing back to Jesus. And as I love to say, he is coming back. We've just celebrated his coming the first time. I hope, like me, come back soon. Have this world in his hands, in his kingdom. But as we come to this time, this isn't just a matter of going through the muscle memory. We are effectively ingesting Jesus Christ in our bodies because he has provided for us symbols and what those symbols are. I'd like to ask his blessing on the elements. Again, Father, we thank you for Jesus. Spirit that moves in our lives. And God, for the bread and the fruit of the vine that is at the table, representing Jesus' body that sacrificed for us, the broken body, the spilled blood. We recognize that this is not literal, this is symbolic. And we thank you for the opportunity to share in what Jesus has done for us. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the table as you feel led.
Let's pray. God, as we close our service, we thank you for your presence. May we always praise you, and may we dedicate our lives to following you, sharing your love and the gospel of Jesus to others. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your sacrifice, and for interceding with the Father on our behalf. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I want to leave you by reading 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Have a great week.